Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast series. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and today I'm pleased to welcome a special guest from St. Peter's Catholic School in Surrey, England, Deputy Head, Mr. Sam Crome. Sam featured as a guest at the recent GCI Coach Ed conference, where he was in discussion with our Executive Director, Chris Munro. Sam has a real passion for coaching and for exploring how teams thrive and perform in schools. He produces an excellent blog called Pocket Wisdom and will be releasing his first book in the summer of 2023. Sam, it's a real delight to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you, Richard. Really good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. You're very welcome. Okay, for the benefit of our listeners, Sam, can I ask you just to give us a wee bit of an overview of your journey in education so far?
Absolutely. Well, I wasn't one of those teachers that had the burning desire to teach as a teenager. It wasn't a lifelong vocation for me when I was young. I wanted to be a footballer. I wanted to be a journalist or a writer, professional reader. If I could be, I'd probably still say that now, actually. I actually, when I left university, was working at the British Museum and loved it. I was working in a kind of office job doing business planning for we were consulting for the Abu Dhabi government on their new national museum called the Sheikh Zayed Museum. It was a wonderful place to work, the British Museum. And during that time, I was dating my then girlfriend, now wife, and she was a teacher. Would come home and tell me amazing things about what it was like to be a teacher at her school. And I thought, no, that's not right. My memories of education at secondary school were people chucking oranges across the classroom and bunking off lessons. Not me, of course. The stories I heard about modern schooling in a really great school in Woking in Surrey, I just had to go and see for myself. So I booked some days annual leave. I went to go and observe and just sort of fell in love with the atmosphere of what a school can look like, and applied to be a teacher and trained as an English teacher the next year. And ever since then, I've been really lucky in my career. I've worked at a couple of great schools, had some lovely range of jobs, and now I'm a deputy head teacher.
Fantastic. It's a lovely journey into education. Some of our listeners, particularly those in the UK, will know you well for how you've developed your thinking around the power of teams in schools. But before we touch on the subject of teams, can you share with us how you get interested in coaching specifically?
Yeah, that's a good question. The first time I really encountered coaching, I think we've all heard the word coaching probably throughout our careers, haven't we? And usually incorrectly. The first time I really understood coaching was when I was doing a wellbeing research project at my school. So I was tasked with trying to come up with an evidence-informed strategy to improve staff wellbeing in UK schools. And so I thought, right, I'll read through lots of academic research and really try and get my head around what's under the bonnet and not just the shiny, you know, biscuits and yoga stuff on the surface of some wellbeing strategies. I stumbled across self-determination theory and the idea of our primary needs of autonomy and competence and relatedness. And when I was trying to work out, because it's a very theoretical model, I was trying to work out, okay, well, what things can you actually do to enhance those primary needs? Every time, the recommendation was coaching. So I thought, right, I need to find out what this actually is, because I've always thought coaching was just when you line manage someone and you tell them what to do. So yes. Clearly I've missed something along the way. And I started reading about coaching. I read Jim Knight's book. I read lots of other stuff. John Whitmore as well. Read lots of books. And then eventually it was just about the time that Andy Buck had released his book called Basic Coaching with his new coaching model. And it was during lockdown. So I decided to do his online course. I was in the very first cohort of his online course. Oh, really, really enjoyed it, and just found that suddenly I had this amazing tool to help myself reflect and to help other people reflect and grow. And then eventually I did a coaching accreditation with GCI, which was, I think I might have been in the first online cohort of that, actually. And that was wonderful with Christian and John. Since then, I've coached people in my own school, but also a couple of years ago, I just put it out there on Twitter. Just said, you know, hey, I'm a fairly inexperienced coach. Would anyone like some free kind of monthly coaching on Zoom? And I got a few respondents, and then I've been coaching people in that kind of fashion ever since, really. It's been an amazing journey. I'd say one of the most important decisions and avenues of my career was pursuing coaching and kind of therefore a holistic coaching approach to leadership as well.
That's fantastic, though, listening to the fact that obviously that research paid dividends, you know, reading through the material, and particularly, yes, when it came to the pandemic, you would have maybe a little bit more time to look around the subject and read around the subject, which is really useful. Sam, if we're on the topic then of coaching, and you very quickly saw the benefit, or maybe the potential, maybe is a better word, if you're thinking about teacher well-being and the research that you were doing at the time, what does coaching currently look like in St. Peter's Catholic School? So if I were to take a stroll around the building, spend a bit of time chatting to staff, where or how would coaching show up in what I see or hear?
Probably best to maybe step back to the beginning of our journey, so you can see how, if I describe what we have now, it wouldn't make sense on its own, so I'll build you up to what we've achieved. So our coaching lead, she's called Jess, she's amazing. She came to the school as a coach. She'd been coaching for a while and decided to launch coaching at the school. And we use a fairly non-directive approach to coaching. And that's the kind of the method that she's employed at the school. And she decided to train up a few people in school in year one. I think it was 4 or 5 people in a small group who received coaching training from her. And then they coached each other, did some peer coaching to practice. And then they were unleashed. And to begin with, the school ran what we call professional coaching. So if someone was new in role, I don't know, they'd been appointed head of year or something like that, or if they'd requested a coach, they received one of our professional coaches. And they worked with them kind of once a month, once every 6 weeks on their professional goals. So improving their leadership or a specific part of their remit that they wanted to reflect on and improve upon. And every year, more and more people either received coaching or heard about the coaching and asked to be trained and be part of the coaching team. And that's grown to kind of a team of sort of 40-odd staff now, and maybe more, who a big chunk of our teaching staff now are professional coaches. We then saw that actually this kind of voluntary, kind of professional style of coaching was really popular and really paying dividends. We also noticed that schools throughout the country were starting to use instructional coaching as a key method of improving their learning and teaching, and therefore their, you know, their teaching outcomes and the teaching growth in the school. But we were quite committed and still are to our more non-directive approach than some instructional methods. So we thought, right, there must be a way to take what we do with the professional coaches but apply it to every single teacher in the school. So Jess and another coaching lead called Emily came up with this plan to essentially create a team of learning coaches, we call them. Okay. So we train them up and we have one for every single department in the school. So let's say, for example, Richard, you are the learning coach for the English department. You have quite a big chunk of time taken off your teaching load, and you are given, you know, sort of monthly top-up training. And you, every half term, meet every single member of the English department, ask them and coach them through what they want to improve about their teaching that half term. Then you can be part of, if they want you to go and observe them to see if what they've said in the coaching session translates. You then coach them afterwards. But like I said, it's not that kind of instructional model where you are telling them how to improve and you are giving them to-do lists. You're essentially working with them like a traditional non-directive coach, but you're part of their teaching journey. You're seeing it. You're kind of walking with them. And so that's the model we've rolled out. It's obviously significantly expensive to reduce that many people's timetables.
Yes, I can imagine.
We've put a lot of trust and investment in this model, and we're kind of a year and a half in now. If you walked around the school and that was your original question, what would coaching look like? You'd see coaches working with teachers in lessons and outside of lessons, but you'd also see after school people coaching each other through professional journeys as well. So I like to think it's a nice balance of the two.
A key word you mentioned in there, Sam, and this is coming through again and again and again in these episodes, which is really, really useful, is that time commitment. And I mean, you made the point there that if I take on this role as a professional coach, there'll be some amount of my timetable reduced to allow me to do that. And that seems to me, talking to a lot of different staff and senior leaders in a lot of different schools right around the globe, that seems to be the key thing, is giving those people time to develop, not just necessarily to coach the other staff, but to develop themselves as coaches. Because you talked there, one of the things, and I'm looking forward to this, an opportunity for top-up training. you know, which is terrific. So I'm going to develop as a coach, as well as providing that coaching service to the teachers within my faculty. So yeah. I think that's coming through really clearly, you know.
That's a really key part of it. It's a big commitment, but I find a lot of schools do a kind of coaching training course at the beginning, and then 1 year, 2 years later, you haven't had regular. So as a coaching team, we meet up once a month and we do about half an hour. And our coaching lead, Emily, she looks at a piece of, you know, research or a blog or a coaching tip from a chapter. She talks through the theory, and then we work in pairs or triads, and we coach each other, and then we can, if we wish to, we can then take that to our coaching conversations that week with the staff we work with. So that ongoing development of coaches is so important. I mean, yeah. I did a 6 month course for GCI, and even a month later, I felt slightly bereft, like I was forgetting, you know, the real great substance behind what I've been taught. So I was always paranoid that I was forgetting the coaching skills that I'd learned. So yeah. I think the continuous development of coaches is vital to it working.
Yeah, I think you're right. That steady input into the coaches. And again, those folks who have chosen to be in those positions, they thrive in those scenarios. You're meeting up, you know, once a month to look at professional readings or, you know, research or whatever it might be around the topic of coaching is really going to inspire them, particularly on a regular basis. So that's really useful. Now, having said all that, and that's all really positive, a popular phrase from this podcast, Sam, as I'm sure you know, has been when theory and good intentions meet reality. Now, I think it is really genuinely beneficial for our listeners to hear about the reality of the challenges of developing coaching within a school. And you know, you've painted a fantastic picture there. A lot of time and effort and money has been invested in this. But can you share with us some of the challenges at St. Peter's, and what do you feel you and your colleagues have learned from them?
I guess the first challenge is making sure that all the coaches are as proficient as each other, so that you're not having one department have an outstanding coach and another department having a coach who's struggling, and that can be lots of reasons. It could be struggling to find the time and fit it all in, or it could be their coaching hasn't quite caught up to the quality of some other coaches. So yeah. Managing all of the coaches, the learning coaches and the professional coaches, making sure that they're as good as they can be and that they're on top of everything. That's a huge role in itself, just leading the coaching team. So you can't just assume it's all working perfectly. We don't like to have a, you know, clipboard style accountability system where we walk around checking up on people. We're a really lovely community, but equally you have to manage it and make sure that everyone's getting the same great deal that you envisaged to start with. And one thing we've done to combat that is that the coaches now have a kind of private hub, part of our kind of website integrated into it, where they record notes from the coaching sessions, and they can keep track on what they're doing with each staff member. So it's not public, it's not kind of looked at by other people, but they can just record everything, and then the coaching leads, Emily and Jess, can go through with them and see how they're doing with their team. So mm-hmm. so that's a challenge we try to overcome. The other one is just the kind of integrity of the coaching sessions that you book in, and making sure that in the busyness for school day, yes. So if you and I have a coaching session booked and you're going to help me with my English teaching period three, if we have a crazy day, I don't know, industrial action or a big school trip or Duke of Edinburgh, what happens if I'm needed for cover? Can we find the time again to meet up in the future where we're both free at the same time? And if we don't, we might lose the momentum that we've created so far. So that's really hard as well to safeguard the coaching time slots so that the realities of working in a school don't override the amazing platform that you've created for coaching. So there's a couple of big challenges there that you really protect the quality and the integrity of the coaching.
Yeah. When I think about the intricacies of that, managing that number of people and those coaches, is that one person or is there a team of people in there, Sam, that manage that equality across, you know, supervision and various things like that?
So we have one person on our leadership team, which is Jess, who is the oracle that started off
the instigator.
And over the years, she's handed off more of the day-to-day responsibility to Emily, who is an English teacher and now our kind of coaching lead. So together they have oversight of the two different programs, and they work together on that. So, but yeah, you're right, it's a big job.
I'm sure. But it sounds like, I mean, genuinely, it sounds like it's working well, which is encouraging for folks to listen to and hear. As we record this particular episode, Sam, this is May 2023. There isn't great anticipation amongst your friends, family, colleagues, and indeed followers on social media with the imminent release of your book, The Power of Teams. Now, without jumping into the detail of the content, I'd really love to ask you where you see the role of coaching fit within school teams. And again, don't want any spoiler alerts, but can you share just some of your thoughts on that?
Sure, of course. Firstly, I think when you have a critical number of staff in your school who have trained to be coaches and have been coached, you get to the point where it's not unnatural to create a kind of coaching culture in your school teams, because everyone understands what it is and how it works, and they've got a kind of feasible kind of level of quality to do that. I think one of the big moments, that epiphanies I had a couple of years into being a coach, was that actually formal coaching sessions, when you booked it in and contracted, are super important and they're amazing. But actually, for a leader, that's you just one-to-one with one person for an hour. And actually, there's a big benefit to trying to create a coaching approach to your team beyond those one-to-one formalized slots. So it takes a bit of time to work with your team and talk through why you're doing it and how to do it. But it's amazing when a team has a natural coaching approach in their meetings and their interactions. You know, even a simple principle that Andy Buck says all the time, ask first. You know, if someone's contributing something in a meeting, your brain is probably telling you, give some input, give some advice, you know best. But ask first and genuinely listen to people and then ask first. I think that's a very simple tenet and part of the whole puzzle. But we can create coaching approaches where teams genuinely work together to coach each other in corridor conversations or informal meetings or whatever. So I think that's really important. That can be hugely powerful, I think.
And I suppose that coaching approach, as you say, in those informal meetings, is the direction of travel that you want to go in. Yes, there's formal meetings, and you can apply, you know, a lot of the coaching skills to that. But it's those day to day, you know, seemingly just casual conversations within teams. Because I mean, as you've said yourself before, and other scenarios, there are so many teams in a big school, and quite often you're a member of more than three, four, maybe five teams. Mm. But to bring your, I suppose, coaching way of being to your role in each of those teams is hugely beneficial, and it's great to see that you're seeing the benefit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember there have been times in my career where I've been micromanaged and I haven't found it that enjoyable, because one you feel like you haven't got any autonomy. And I remember I met Dr. Colvin Atwell, who's a head teacher in London and Essex. And he wrote the book, The Thinking School. And basically lives by the mantra that his staff should have a lot of autonomy. And he said to me when I met him, I've never forgotten the phrase, without autonomy, you leave your brain at home. Okay. Because you come to work every day knowing you'll be told what to do and when to do it and how to do it. So therefore, you never bring massive pieces of your potential and your intellect to your workplace. And I've seen that in action. Yeah. I've actually felt it myself. So by having a coaching approach and asking people and kind of, you know, going through options with them and asking them to lead those options when they're thinking it through, and then just doing that in an informal setting with either one-to-one or a big team of people, it's hugely powerful. Then they come to those meetings knowing that they will be asked to think and asked to work through their options on their own without being told. That for me is when you have a really great team, because then they grow as leaders, they grow as people, and then all of a sudden you're handing over responsibility to them and you're moving out of the way so they can lead as well.
Exactly, it's that phrase, you know, every good leader develops other leaders, and it's the same within teams and schools. Sam, I'd like to ask you about the whole area, and this is an important one, the whole area of sustainability. We've touched on it a wee bit now in one of the earlier questions, but what can be done to ensure that St. Peter's coaching journey continues to go from strength to strength?
Yeah, at the moment we feel the momentum of something's growing. Okay, it's sort of 5 or 6 years old, but it still feels fresh and exciting. Yeah. But obviously those feelings don't last forever with anything. So I think the first thing we have to do as a school is keep narrating to the staff what the benefits that we're seeing from the coaching. So whether that's the leadership team talking about it or testimonies from people within the staff group. I think it's really important to narrate actually one of the reasons why we're experiencing lots of success and we are, you know, we're going through a really successful period as a school is that we have models where people are able to grow in their role without kind of more traditional forms of line management. And we've actually changed our whole appraisal process to be more of a coaching approach. We call them self-reflections now. So what I think we will continue to do as a school is verbalize to the staff and over-communicate, hey, this coaching stuff we're doing isn't just isolated to your meeting room. It's also the way that your performance management works. And it also applies to your more ad hoc conversations in teams. And actually it's this holistic coaching approach that's really making us successful. So firstly, it's just keep highlighting the benefits and showing the passion we have for coaching. So it doesn't just become something that takes up your time day to day. That's really important. And secondly, just to keep investing in people. I really want to have more support staff in the school. We've got a few support staff who have trained up as coaches, but I would really like admin staff, site team, exam staff, anyone. Everyone wants to come to work and grow. Everyone wants to come to work and develop. Everyone wants to come to work and use their kind of their talents. And coaching is a great way of doing that. So as a school, I'd like us to keep rolling out. We've got a few, but we can go wider so that all staff can experience and benefit from coaching.
I think it fits in so well with your passion about team. And you talked about coaching in team scenarios. So you think about the typical school team. You know, it doesn't stop with the senior leadership team, it doesn't stop with teachers, it doesn't stop with classroom assistants. You know, you've mentioned, you know, auxiliary and ancillary staff. And can you picture a school out there, you know, with all of those people trained in coaching and signed up to this coaching way of being, and they approach the conversations in school with a coaching way of being? It sounds fantastic. Finally, Sam, and this is something that I'm really keen to hear about, with leading the development of a coaching culture and having a big impact yourself at St. Peter's, releasing your first book, which is coming up very shortly, giving presentations up and down the UK almost every weekend at the moment on the power of teams, what remains to be explored further in the world of Sam Crome?
I don't know. I've just submitted my book to the publisher last week, and I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. but it's funny, isn't it? Because I thought I'd be sort of enjoying twiddling my thumbs for a bit and kind of, but straight away I'm thinking, oh, I can see, oh, this is brilliant. Researcher who's just released this great new paper on teamwork and, you know, military teams, and there's just always new stuff coming out that can inspire you or help your thinking to apply to your own setting. So I don't know exactly what's next, but I know there's always more to reflect on and there's always more to explore, and nothing is static, so everything is dynamic and changing. So I still really want to continue researching teams and seeing how we can improve school teamwork. My book, I think, it does a fairly good job, but it's not the you know, it's not not a magic cure for everything. And yeah, I think while I was writing the book, I was definitely able to engage less with coaching research and coaching myself. So I'm looking forward to increasing the coaching side of my role and being able to take on a couple of more coaches again. Beyond that, I'm doing a bit more work in our multi-academy trust. So I'm moving into a role as Director of Education in our Multi-Academy Trust, which is just happening at the moment, which will start next year. So I'm looking forward to seeing how some of the things that we've done really well at St. Peter's and we've learned from the challenges along the way can be rolled out to multiple schools, which will, of course, include coaching and a coaching approach. So what's going on? But I think my main hunger is still to carry on learning and to keep trying to grow in what I know and what I can do to support the people around me.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I've written down that one word, and you mentioned just literally a few seconds ago there, Sam, is that word grow, and that's come through, you know, all that we've talked about today, you know, whether it's the teachers in the school who are receiving coaching, whether it's the coaches themselves, you know, they're in this environment where they're encouraged to grow, and time is given to that. There's a value in providing people an opportunity to grow and develop, and even thinking about yourself and the years ahead, there's that feeling that there's got to be more out there that we can research, there's got to be more out there that we can learn, and then, like you say, sharing that with your colleagues within your own school, but who knows, beyond that, you know, with other schools, and being able to share what you, what you've learned with other schools, which is really quite inspiring to the folks that are going to be listening to, the, to this particular podcast. Sam, it has been such a pleasure to chat with you on the podcast today and to hear some coaching insights from within the UK education system. Thank you for sharing some of your own personal coaching story and also for giving us an insight into what coaching looks like at St. Peter's. I'd like to wish you well as you continue to contribute to education conferences and events up and down the UK, and particularly to wish you every success with your book, The Power of Teams. For our listeners, if you'd like to find out more about Sam's work, you can check out pocketwisdom.blog. We will include a link in the notes for you, and keep an eye out for that book release coming soon. For more podcast episodes and indeed a vast array of other free coaching related resources, check out growthcoaching.com.au. In the meantime, I look forward to joining you all again on the next episode of Coaching in Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.